の尾を踏み出す目の尾を踏み出す初めの一歩目の尾を踏み出す目の尾を踏み出す初めの一歩。
This is H10, Hanshin Tigers English News, where Hanshin Tigers fans all around the world unite and catch up on the team that has turned the classic series into a classic case of schoolyard bullying. And unfortunately, we have been on the receiving end of that. I'm your host, T-Ray. Today is April 24th, yes, and JD is with me from the old capital. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Good to be back here. Sorry for bowing out of the last podcast, but it sounds like I was in good hands with Sanjay coming in and picking up the slack. So thank you, Sanjay, for doing that as well. And hopefully he can be back on the podcast again before too long and contribute some more.
Absolutely, yeah. By the way, today is April the 24th, if I have not mentioned that yet, and this is episode 96. Welcome you to the show. So JD, when I look at this bullying that we have been suffering through, I think about the movie A Christmas Story. Have you ever seen the movie?
Man, I don't think I have, actually.
Okay, it's a must-see. Anyways, there's a scene in it where there's a bully, and he's bigger than the other kids, and he terrorizes them. Like, he'll just show up in random places and just laugh like a maniac, and the kids just run the other way, and they're complete cowards. And I feel like that really portrays the Giants-Tigers relationship quite well. But then there's a scene in the movie, I don't want to spoil anything, but basically the main character just kind of says, like, screw this, I've had enough of being terrorized by this guy, and he stands up to him. And I'm waiting for that time when the Tigers stand up to the Giants and say, you might be bigger than us, you might have more weapons than us, but screw you, we're going to take you down anyways, just by our anger alone.
I hope it happens sooner than later, because we just look absolutely lost out there. The Giants are just so confident, and I mean, you just don't feel like our team has any sort of mojo going on when they take the field, you know, against the Giants. So, hopefully they can find that spark to stand up to them. But man, it has just looked so lopsided, and not even just in terms of the pure, just how they're playing, but just the feel you get when the teams take the field, you know, the confidence level is this huge gap there. So I hope you're right, man. I hope that they can do that at some point.
You want to hear something interesting, and this is as of Sunday night, not as of yesterday. If you take out the Giants versus Tigers matches, both teams are 500. They're 500 teams, except when they face each other. So if you think about it, if we had split those series, and we're going to... I'm spoiling what we're coming up on with the recaps, but if we had split both of those series, we would be even in the standings right now. Instead, it looks ugly. So to make things a little bit clearer, if we are to win this season series against them, we got to go 13-6 the rest of the way against them. Not going to happen. Anyhow, on today's show, we are going to recap the Heisei era, because it's coming to an end in 7 short days. Actually, next week, Wednesday, at this time, the new emperor will be taking the throne, and we will begin Reiwa. So we're going to look back on the Heisei 30.5 years or whatever in Hanshin Tigers history. And of course, all the other good stuff. So stick around. We'll be right back with some news and rumors. Give it all to God. He'll follow through. I trust you. I'll follow you. Well, JD, some of the news and rumors are completely connected to how things went on the field. And so we're doing a bit of spoiling here, but the first bit, and this comes, you know, right early in our recording sessions, does it not, that Garcia was farmed after a third straight shellacking. He had 3 starts, and in this, well, we won't talk about how he did, but basically he's down on the farm.
Yeah.
And so he's done for the time being. Who knows what it is? I mean, some people said maybe that it was his groin injury that he suffered in spring, and that he hasn't been able to get his speed back on his fastball. And I've seen that. His speed is awful. His velocity is awful. And if you can't hit the strike zone with your breaking stuff, and all they're doing is sitting on slow fastballs, of course they're going to hit the tar, or, you know, hit the cover off the ball. Mm-hmm. And I think opposing teams are hitting like something like 430 off of him this year so far.
Well, he had 3 straight starts of 7 earned runs to begin the
or
season.
7 runs,
this year.
Yeah.
Or 7 runs,
one of them,
yeah.
Was 6.
Yeah. So that brings his ERA up to almost 20. So yeah, there's obviously something really wrong there. We need him to be the pitcher that he was last year, so hopefully he can get sorted out on the farm and be back soon. But ain't getting it done right now, and it's not a surprise. You know, three starts, three strikes, you're out, and hopefully he gets it sorted.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think that these first three starts are indicative of who he is as a pitcher. I think that the larger body of work from last season is a bit more indicative. So, yeah, we definitely need that guy back from May and onwards anyways. Mm-hmm. Other news, speaking of pitchers being deactivated, Randy Messenger bruised his hand during his start just this past week. So he has been deactivated as well. And we'll talk the details of that game, but I don't know when he's coming back. I hope that the bruise is not serious, but have you heard anything about that, JD?
Yes, Nikon Sports actually reported this morning that he's not going to be coming back anytime in the upcoming 12-game series, which is a real bummer. We really need all the pitching that we can get at this rate, you know, especially with Garcia being gone as well. But no, he is a no-go as far as I know, based on that report. For the upcoming 12-game series, so not good news at all. And I gotta say, man, this—he got injured in this one in the game against the Giants. Am I right?
Yes,
right. So, what is it with the Giants just beating up on Randy? Like, literally. I mean, it was Abe, you know, breaking his leg, you know, a couple years ago, and now it's them breaking it, you know, messing with his arm.
It was Kamei this time, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, man. They just gotta stop. I mean, talk about bullying. I mean, literally bullying our poor pitcher here. So
yeah, for real, yeah. I don't know. I mean, maybe he's got to start beaning guys back or something, go MLB style or something. I don't know. Anyhow, other pitcher news. There's actually a couple more pitchers in the news. Atsushinomi had to step away from the team for a few days because his father passed on. And so he went to, of course, he was at the funeral and everything. So our condolences to the Nomi family for that. He's already back with the team, which I guess is good. But I mean, any time that you take a step back and look at these guys as more than just, you know, guys that go out and throw baseballs from the mound, they're real people like us. And, you know, I think about my own family and, you know, and you stop and think about mortality every now and then. And it's not a fun thought, but certainly, hopefully Nomi will be able to carry through and push through as a human as well as a baseball player.
It's amazing, you know, when these guys really just to think about how they perform, you know, day to day, you know, even though they have lives, like you said, just like us, you know, and all the ups and downs that come with that. So you have to tip your cap to them. And hopefully he can come back and, make his dad proud, I guess, with his performance on the field as well. And good luck to him. And condolences for sure.
Let's jump into the final pitching news. And that is related to Kyuji Fujikawa, who got farmed earlier in the season. And actually, he was not throwing at all down on the farm until yesterday. He threw in a game yesterday. And just threw one inning, allowed one hit. It was a double, and I think he struck out one or maybe two guys. Anyways, it was a clean inning. I think one of the coaches was saying, the pitching coach, I think, was saying that the day that he returns to the top squad is not too far in the future. So I don't know if that's good or not, but that remains to be seen, I suppose.
Well, he seemed to have good velocity, too. I think he hit something like 140, 748 on the radar gun, which is good. Yeah, so hopefully, you know, that the problems that he had were just a minor hiccup. So, yeah, hopefully he'll be back soon and contributing to the bullpen. We definitely need it because we've got some guys who are definitely a little bit shaky right now, to say the least. So,
well, Kuhara got spanked on, well, we're getting ahead of ourselves, but he's down on the farm as well because he got shellacked.
Yeah.
Sorry, one more bit of pitching news that I forgot about. Our good friend Shintaro Fujinami is expected to pitch today on the farm. So that'll be his first pitching game action this season, regular season, that is. And so we'll see how that goes. But I don't know, man. I don't want to make any bold predictions or naive predictions. But, you know, with us being shorthanded heading into this 12 games in 12 days stretch, it certainly wouldn't be bad if he got in on the tail end of that and maybe made one start. But, again, I am not going to get too far ahead of ourselves here or get my hopes up too high.
Yeah, yep.
Just, Shintaro, figure things out and come back when you are ready. And, man, I just hope that this time when you get called up, it is your last time that you get called up because you stay up. Yeah. The last bit of news as far as players go comes from, of course, also from the injury from the hospital, so to speak, with a couple of guys. Fumihito Haraguchi took batting practice outside for the first time on the 16th, so about 8 days ago, and he did pretty good job. It's batting practice, so it doesn't matter how many you hit over the fence, but I think he got five over the fence, and he said he felt good, and so, you know, a return this year is not out of the question, which is pretty good for a guy coming off of some cancer surgery.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, wishing for the best for him, and then the other one that everybody is finally starting to hem and haw about, and that comes because the product on the field stinks. Jeffrey Marte, where are you, man? Where are you? And so he also took outdoor BP the same day as Haraguchi, And he's expected to get some action either today or tomorrow against SoftBank on the farm.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens with that. I mean, Oyama is starting to pick his batting average up a little bit. You know, he's doing a little bit better than he was before in the four spot. But so you sort of wonder where Marte is going to slot in if he obviously performs well enough on the farm to warrant being called up to the Ichigun. You know, I reckon that maybe he won't slot into number four right off the bat.
No. But he'll slot in at first base where, who have we got, man? I mean, we've got this crazy rotation at first where it's like Nakatani or Navarro or sometimes even Kinami.
Yeah,
and it's just like, none of these guys have really panned out. Nakatani, the best of the three. But honestly, like, you need more out of your first base hitter than we're getting, you know, by a long stretch.
Yeah, I reckon we'll see Nakatani being shifted out to the outfield to give Fukunome some rest, and then, you know, Marte could play first in that situation. Nakatani, his batting average isn't quite there yet, but his slugging is up there. Yep. I don't know. I'm cautiously optimistic with him, as I always am, I guess. I always find myself saying that, but you know, we need these guys to perform, and unfortunately Navarro has not panned out this season so far. So yeah, come on, Marte, we need you, buddy. Let's pick up the pace and get some power up on the Ichigun to help us along here.
Yeah, absolutely, it would be nice. We're waiting. Okay, let us jump into the recaps. Some good news for everybody out there.
Not a lot of good news, unfortunately, over the past couple of weeks. I believe you and Sanjay had some sort of prediction on how you thought that the team was going to do in this past couple of weeks, yeah?
Not how we thought they'd do, how we hoped they'd do. Yeah. Yep.
So what was that? What did you guys have?
Yeah, I said if they can go 7-5, I would be happy, because I think that would have pulled them up to 500.
Mm-hmm.
So did they get the 7 wins?
No, they certainly did not.
Did they get the 5 losses, or did they exceed that?
Oh, they got plenty. Yeah. They got plenty of those losses. Yeah, I believe. Yeah. What did they end up going total on the on this 2
3,
weeks?
3-8-1. Bro.
3-8-1. Yeah. Yep. So not what we were looking for. So
nope,
you and
three
I.
Shutouts.
Yeah, 3 shutouts too. Yeah, of course, and lots of errors too, man. Terrible errors, yes. Which I'll get into as we go through this. So yeah, the last time the podcast was broadcast, we were right in the middle of that series against the Bay Stars, coming off that awesome win on the 9th, which you and I were both at. Got to see Umeno hit for the cycle. Unfortunately, the team was quite hungover the next day. They ended up getting one hit by Hamaguchi on the 10th. I have nothing really to say about that. When your team gets one hit, there is literally nothing to be happy about.
Well, I would be happy about Aoyagi's performance. He pitched quite well.
He did, yeah. He did, I suppose. That's true. Yeah, okay. So that's a good point, I suppose. And yeah, Aoyagi has pitched quite well all season so far. He's done. He's actually turning into one of the sort of the mainstays of the rotation, which we'll talk.
Yeah,
we'll
who would have thought?
Yeah, who would have thought? Yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute, too. But
And
then on the 11th, Akiyama makes his grand return to the mound in, I don't even know how long. It's been ages since he started. Do you know exactly how long it had been?
I don't actually know. I mean, I remember reading how many days it had been, but I forget. But I mean, sometime late last year, like maybe it was August or September last year that he fell off the map.
Yeah, yeah. So he comes back. He didn't pitch absolutely terribly, but he wasn't great either. We had solo shots by Oyama and Chikamoto, but they weren't enough to overcome a 3-run shot in the 6th by Kamizato. So we lose that one 2-5. Dropped the series to the Bay Stars after that amazing start. That series was a loss for us. So then the Dragons come to town for a 3-game set. And this series, again, we drop 2-1. First game was a loss, 4-9, Randy got beat up by mostly by Vicieto on this one. And I gotta say, like, this one was interesting. So Vicieto hit 2 home runs off Randy, 2 line drive shots to opposite sides of the field, and you gotta like give the guy some credit for the power that he's got, because both of those pitches were actually quite good pitches. They were down low, you know, out of the strike zone for sure. And somehow the first one he managed to scoop over to left, and then the second one he just powered it off to right, just line shots. So you just sort of tip your cap to him. There's not much you can say about that. Our scoring came mostly on errors, actually, it seemed. Bobble at second brought in one on a play that should have been a double play. There's a wild pitch that brought in another 2, so no real sort of decisive scoring on our part. So we dropped that one, and hope that the next game will be better. It wasn't. I don't have much to say about this one beyond the fact that Iwasada gave up 6 runs. One was on a grand slam, And if that wasn't bad enough, we allowed another grand slam later in the game for a 2-10 loss. Yep. Really nothing else I want to say about this one. It was a terrible game. I shut it off halfway through. Just unwatchable stuff.
Chikamoto with a garbage time home run.
Yeah.
So his second of the year, which actually put him in the team lead temporarily for most home runs.
Oh, dear Lord. Yeah. Not fun, not fun. So you hope we can salvage the series or something from the series in the next game on the 14th. Nishi comes in and pitches. He pitches well enough. Win this one 5-2. Tigers put up 5 in the fourth, which is actually topped off by a Nishi RBI. So he seems to be getting these timely hits when he needs them now and then. But Dolis comes in and saves it. So, you know, thankfully we get something out of this series again. But still, again, we lost the series. And it's just really not going well at all. So after the off day, then on the 16th, we go to Matsuyama, our first countryside game of the season to face the Swallows. This was the third start by Garcia where he completely imploded. We lose this one 9-5. He just really could not get anything done in the first and second innings, and he was gone by partway through the second inning.
Yeah, he recorded 4 outs.
Yep.
And it was 1 innings, yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty brutal. I believe later on in the game, Nakatani hit a home run, I think in the top of the ninth, I believe.
Yeah, it was a two-run shot, I think.
Yeah, but again, you know, at that point, the game was pretty much out of hand. So you just dust yourself off after that one. We head to Jingu to continue the series now. And this one ends in a tie, 2-2. Oyama, two-run home run was all the scoring that we had. Later on in the game, Ballantyne evened it up, and that's how it stayed to the end. Which I actually didn't watch the entire one because it was just so long.
Okay, well, let me just talk a little bit about that then. Nomi walked a couple of guys, and then Johnson relieved him right away because Nomi didn't get anyone out. Johnson plunked a guy to load the bases, and the plunking was interesting because it hit Yamada in the helmet. But actually, Yamada was ducking out of the way, so his helmet was actually not on his head completely. So technically it didn't hit him in the head, which meant Johnson stayed in the game, but the very next guy was Ballantyne. He knocked in two. So those runs go on Nomi's record, and okay. Johnson remains blemishless on the season, but unfortunately he was on the mound when the game was tied. And then in the 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th, not in every inning for each team, but I mean both teams had great chances to take a lead, and neither of them did it. I mean, the Swallows had the bases loaded with no outs. Mm-hmm. We had a guy on third base with one out, I think, and maybe first and third with one out in another inning, and we didn't get runs. So it was a hard game to watch this because it seemed like, you know, both teams were like, no, you take it, you take the lead, you win, and neither team would take it, and so in a tie, and yeah, just frownies for both teams in that one. But then let's talk some good news finally in the last game. So home sweet Jingu, or not quite, but it was certainly a sweet game.
Yeah, Iwata makes his comeback. We haven't seen him for quite a while either, and he got a complete game victory on this one, if you can believe it. He still gave up 5 runs. A couple of those came in the ninth inning, but hey, he pitched through the whole thing, which is great to see. Talk about offense. We got 2 home runs from Oyama in this one, 2 from Nakatani, 1 from Chikamoto. We really pounded the Swallows on this one. Win this one 13-5, although I temper this a little bit because the pitching that we faced was not really top-tier pitching, both in terms of the starter and the relievers that we saw from the Swallows. So, I mean, you know, it's great. You know, you get your win, but, you know, I'm going to be a little bit of a wet blanket and say that, you know, our Tigers are really great at destroying bad pitching, and they've shown us that. But you know, hey, we managed to really split the series about as much as you can split one because of the tie. So we come away with that win, which was good. And riding high on the big offense as we head into the series against the Giants. And you were at the first game of this one, so I'll let you talk about that one a little bit.
Hooray, yeah. Yeah, I was there. So it was Randy on the mound, and it was Sugano on the mound for them. And Randy had a good first inning, a terrible second inning, a okay third inning. No, his third inning wasn't very good either. But anyways, and then so he allowed, I think, couple of home runs again. Mm-hmm. And then in the fifth inning he got hit in the hand by a Kame liner and he was pulled, but already at that point I think he had yet to record an out in the fifth. Mm-hmm. And I think he allowed something like 9 or 10 hits on the day, so he just wasn't looking very good. Mind you, neither were the fielders. They were sloppy as anything, especially Hojo. He threw one in the dirt at first base, he threw one away at home on. We had the drawn-in infield, which I typically hate because it never works, but it actually worked, except that Hojo threw the ball like 3 feet wide of Umeno. So Umeno had to jump, you know, off of away from home to make the catch. And the runner, who was backtracking to third when he saw the throw coming in, looked at Umeno and was like, well, I guess I'll just take home then. And so I think Hojo committed two errors, and one was not called an error, but he was also bad on that. So he got pulled partway through the game, and Kinami came in his place and provided all the offense. Mm-hmm. We got four runs, a three-run home run in the bottom of the seventh, and that knocked Sugano out of the game, which is always nice if you can do that. And mm-hmm. if you can score three runs on Sugano, which we did, you know, mm-hmm. That's your best chance of winning. You're not going to get much more than that.
Yeah.
So it was 6-3, and since we'd knocked out Sugano, we were like, this is our chance, because their bullpen isn't all that strong. And, you know, we'd put a lot of pressure on. But then the next inning, Kuwahara came in and gave up six runs. Just looked absolutely awful. He got two strikes on almost everybody, but then he couldn't put anyone away. Kind of a Garcia syndrome there. Mm-hmm. And so 12-3, they actually made him pitch the whole inning. and the guys with me were like, why are they doing that? Like, why don't they pull him? And I was like, the game's out of hand, and you want to save your arms for the next day because you never know what you're going to need. Yeah. Like, why waste them? And I basically said, like, Kuwahara is getting sent down to the farm. So, you know, at least make him finish the inning, not as punishment, but at least to say, hey, look, like, you're not going to cost us a potential, you know, precious arm in future games.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kinami hit an RBI double in the ninth, in the bottom of the ninth. Believe it or not, I stayed for the whole game.
Good on you.
It was 12-3 at that time, so we lost 12-4.
Yeah.
So that's it. Yeah, sorry for the long recap, but that was a terrible start to what ended up getting even worse as a weekend for the Tigers.
Yeah, yeah. Game two, Youngman comes in and shuts us down completely. I believe we had four hits in that one. We lose that 1-0-2. Cook saved it for the Giants as well. Again, the bats really couldn't do anything, any production whatsoever. And yep. Then game three, more errors. We didn't have any errors in game two, but game three we had three errors in that one as well. Nishi pitched relatively well, but the bats couldn't get that big hit. I believe the third run came on a Dolis Wild pitch in the ninth yep. inning as well. But again, yeah, the Giants just really, they just look very confident. They do what they need to get done. And our fielding was sloppy again, and so we ended up getting swept by the Giants, which is... Yeah.
We're getting used to it.
Yeah, talk about getting abused like you were talking about yeah. earlier. Yeah, we got completely owned by them in this series. And yeah, it's not looking good for the series, the season series against the Giants.
Just absolute garbage. And I've basically decided I don't want to go to any more Giants games ever. I think personally, honestly, like as a Tigers fan going to Giants games at Koshien, I've been to 11, I think, now. And we are 2-8-1. At home against the Giants at games that I attend.
You know, that's
and
funny.
It's not just that I'm bad luck.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen them win against the Giants at Koshien now that I think about it. I've probably seen five or six games, yeah.
You're forgetting about the Campbell game that we saw 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
That was one that the Tigers won and we were at together. Okay, so the final game last night, we go to our favorite stadium in all of Japan, including Koshien, Yokohama, with the Blue Goat on the mound. Going on 5 days rest. So how'd that go for us, JD?
It went really well. I mean, we're pretty much the Yokohama Tigers at this point. And I, you know, you saw it right away. Aoyagi looked sharp. He gave up three runs. It was a home run later, maybe in the seventh inning or so.
Yeah, and that was also after an error where it should have been an inning-ending double play. So
yep.
Yeah.
So it wasn't really, you know, his fault. You can't really blame him for that. He pitched really, really well. Looked great. I think he induced something like four double plays. From the Bay Stars.
Could have been five.
Yeah. And the bats really beat up on Kamichitani. You know, I mean, he's a rookie, and so I figure, you know, he's going to have his ups and downs and certainly some downs as well, and that was yesterday. Gave up three runs early on, and then he was knocked out of the game by a Fukudome home run. So he ends up giving up six, and Chikamoto, I believe, adds two more later on.
On a double.
Yeah, on a double. But yeah, Aoyagi was the hero of last night's game. We love playing at Yokohama, man, and it's really great to see. So hopefully tonight and tomorrow they can continue on, assuming we don't get rained out. I don't know what the weather looks like. But yeah, assuming we don't get rained out, yeah, we can continue that series and hopefully win.
You keep using that word hopefully, and we've used it on this show enough times to know that hopefully never pans out.
Yeah, it's true. That's become like a speech tick of mine at this point, you know, like being a Tigers fan. That's what we're always just hoping without that sort of confidence that we need. But that's what the last couple of weeks have looked like.
So there you have it. Nothing good there, and three wins and some good pitching performances from the GOAT. But yeah. Let's hope that the next 2 weeks go better. Ha ha ha. Punching Tigers English. Punching Tigers English. Punching Tigers English. Punching Tigers English. Hot topics. Hot topics. Hot topics. On to the hot topic. And as I mentioned at the head of the show, the Heisei era is coming to an end here in Japan. And we are about to start Reiwa on May the 1st. So, I thought it might be nice for us to look back on the Heisei era of the Hanshin Tigers. How did we do? JD, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm going to talk a little bit about what these eras mean and so on. Basically, you know, it's the period in which one emperor reigns, although he has no actual role or power. And so, the Showa era ended on January the 7th of 1989. That was Showa year 64, but since the Heisei era began on January the 8th, Heisei year 1 was 1989, and it ran for 30 years plus the first 4 months of this year, so 31 years. So Heisei 31 is this year. Am I right? Did I get anything kind of
screwy
about that?
Yes, no, that sounds right to me, yep.
Okay, and this is the first time in several hundred years that the emperor, the reigning emperor, has stepped down while he's still alive. Typically, his death is what determines the changing of the era, which is why the Showa era ended on January 7th. So, you know, there's a few precious people born in Showa 64, but not very many. Anyhow, this time it's been decided for what, like a year and a half now or 2 years, that he was going to step down on April the 30th, and that his son Naruhito would take over on May the 1st. So, I got a couple questions for you, JD, and I'm throwing this at you just kind of at random.
Oh boy,
but how do you think the Tigers did in the Heisei era on the whole in the Central League? In other words, if you look at the overall record of all six teams during Heisei, where do the Tigers rank in the Central League?
Oh man, well, I mean, I couldn't tell you the actual number, but I do know that this was one of the times when the Tigers were going through their, what is it, like the Dark Ages or whatever.
Yep.
They finished sixth in consecutive years quite a few times.
Consistently, I would say. Yeah,
quite consistently. So I'm thinking that probably they're somewhere around, I would say fifth or fourth, I want to say.
You go with that first one. They were fifth overall.
They were fifth overall, okay,
Care to guess who might have finished first? I think it's pretty obvious.
Would it possibly start with a Y and a G? Or
Yeah. Y-Gen it is.
Yeah.
Yomiuri Giants. They ruled it. Yeah, they actually won 12 out of the 30 championships during the Heisei era. And so they're first. Chunichi actually has the second best record during this period, followed by Yakult, Hiroshima, us, and then DeNA / Yokohama / Taiyo. They've changed their name several times. They are in dead last. Also, in the number of championships, they only have one, and we doubled them. We got two.
Two. Ouch. Yeah.
Two out of 30. Yeah. So there you have it. That is our overall record during this time period. We're going to jump through some hoops here with how the Tigers did under which managers and which players might have been key during this time, and what kind of controversies took place during this 30-year period. So let's jump back all the way to 1989, and this is the year after Randy Bass left the team, and this is also, the team won it all in 1985, so three full seasons had passed since their Nippon Ichi, and they were already comfortably in the Dark Ages, having finished in last place in 87 and 88. In 89, it was the second year of Minoru Murayama being the manager, and the team finished fifth. It was also his last year. The one thing that stands out about this year is that Cecil Fielder played for the Tigers during this season, and he was, you know, hopefully going to be the next coming of Randy Bass, and he actually wasn't far off that. He was in the home run king race until the end of the year when he broke his finger. And that was when he was angry at himself for striking out, threw his bat to the turf. It bounced off of the artificial turf and struck him in the hand and busted his finger.
At that point, he had 38 home runs even though. It's like, yeah. Man, what I would give to have someone who could hit 38 home runs on our team, you know. And that wasn't even, he wasn't even finished, you know, until he actually broke his finger. So, man, oh man, when's the next coming of Cecil Fielder? We need him.
Yeah. Well, we had a couple since then, but very few and far between. If you're curious about how our imports hitters have done, go back a few episodes and look for our top 10 import hitters in history. Anyhow, let's move forward. Actually, JD, the next manager, Katsuhiro Nakamura, he is the longest serving manager in team history. He went 6 whole years, and it was all during the Dark Ages. So how about that? No other manager ever in 80 plus years of the team has gone more than 5 in a row.
Wow.
So yeah, amazing stuff. I mean, it's very hard to believe. But anyhow, his record from 1990 through 1995, 6th, 6th, 2nd, 4th, 4th, and 6th. And you'll notice a trend here that most of these guys end their reigns with either a sixth place or just a finish that is outside of the playoffs, typically. Anyhow, or outside of the top class, I should say, the A classes, so to speak. So anyhow, during his reign, a couple of things that were interesting. One is that Tom O'Malley was with the team for 4 of those 6 years. As many of you may know, he came back as hitting coach during this past decade, and I think he even had another tenure around Hoshino's time as well. But O'Malley, in his fourth season in 1994, during the All-Star break, I think he was maybe getting frustrated with the Tigers, and so he had said to the Giants manager who was managing the Central League All-Star team, he said in his limited Japanese, "Lainen Kyojin," you know, like next year I'm joining the Giants.
Yeah.
And it didn't happen. He went to the Swallows instead. But I was reading on Wikipedia this morning, he was cut from the team. He was released from the team at the end of 94 because of a lack of home runs, which I find kind of ironic, just because we've had tons of hitters that have done worse than him in terms of home runs, and he actually was contributing right through to his fourth year. Mm-hmm. The end of the reign for him, and he went on to help the Swallows to a Nippon Ichi, I believe, in 1995. Mm-hmm. So good on him for that. The other story that I like in this period is that the team, this is their best finish during the Dark Ages, was a second place finish in 1992. They were tied for second, and they were so close. It was kind of a miracle run. And there was one defining moment against the Swallows late in the year. I think it was September 11th. Pinch hitter Hiroshi Yagi hit what looked like a home run that would have been a walk-off. We had a runner on first. Instead, what they said was the ball bounced off of the top of the wall and into the stands. Mm-hmm. And so the runner on first only advanced 2 bases. We didn't walk it off. We didn't finish the game off. It ended in a tie, and that kind of took the wind out of the Tigers' sails, so mm-hmm. they say. And so we ended up not finishing first, and the Swallows ended up winning the pennant.
Well, and that was also the one where Shinjo, you know, at one point during the season, toward the end of the season, he said something, he used the word Yusho, you know, like we're definitely going to win the pennant or something like that. And people said that was what sort of cursed the Tigers and made them unable to actually get through and actually win it all. So thanks, Shinjo.
Yeah, Shinjo has a couple of those moments where he just kind of says the wrong thing on the stand. We'll come to another one soon.
Yeah.
So that's the Nakamura era. The next one lasted only 1 year, and that was Taira Fujita, 1996. The team finished in last place. He was told when he was hired that he was definitely going to be on for at least 2 years. So when the team announced his firing to him, they asked him to resign, he refused. Mm-hmm. And they had a super long meeting, you know, and he was saying, no, you promised me 2 years. I'm not leaving. And, you know, ultimately it came down to the team just saying, well, look, you're fired.
Yeah.
So kind of an interesting story there. Apparently he was known as just a real hard-nosed manager. Shinjo would come late to practice and stuff. And so he would make Shinjo sit in seiza position, which you know the seiza, right?
Yeah. On your knees.
How comfy is that? Yeah. And he would have to do that for like an hour or something. And like after 30 minutes, even the best of people has to shift. And Shinjo, you know, was like, forget this. And he was just a very unpopular manager. Mm-hmm. So who do we bring in to replace him? None other than our good old friend Yoshio Yoshida, who at one point, you know, in his second tenure with the team as manager, led the team to the Nippon Ichi. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He lasted 2 years, and his first year was tainted by the Mike Greenwell scandal. Do you know anything about that one, JD?
Yeah, well, basically, Greenwell came over and got injured pretty much right away, right? And after he showed up to a press conference, you know, with a cast on his leg, and he said it was he was taking it as a sign from God that it was time for him to retire. So he basically quit, you know, after just a couple games with the team, and then headed back to the States right away and caused a huge kerfuffle over here, because it was just, you know, kind of unheard of that you would actually do that. So
was paid $3 million US dollars for that 1 year. Actually, he returned, I think, 60% of his salary, but he still made 1.4 mil for his limited action. I mean, that's like 200 grand per game. So we're talking like Clayton Kershaw type of per game salary. Not quite, but quite significant. So if you talk to any core Hanshin fans, and if you say the words Kami no Otsuge, they will say Greenwell. They know that that basically means, like, you know, that's a sign from God, or God told me. Mm-hmm. And my take on that is, like, Japan is not very religious. And I think, like, we say that kind of casually in Western culture. Like, even if we're not Christians or believers, we would say, like, oh, I guess God's just telling me this, or like, that's just a sign from God that I need to stop, or that I need to whatever. And we don't necessarily mean, like, I heard from, you know, the God of the universe. But in Japan, they're like, they hear those words and they're like, what, you think you're like connected to immortality and that you were told to quit the Hanshin Tigers? Like, that's absurd.
Yeah. Well, as a translator myself, you know, I sort of feel like it was a bit of a translation issue. Like, I figure, I think the meaning is probably like, it was like his destiny. It was like, if he had said that's my umme, you know, my destiny to not be playing right now, I think it might have gone over a little bit better with the Japanese fans. But yeah, just something that gets lost in translation there, I think, too. Not to you know, give him any excuses, you know, because it was kind of a crappy situation all the way around, but exacerbated a little bit maybe by that communication miscue.
Yeah, for sure. So the team finishes fifth that season, and then the next season under Yoshida as well, they finish in sixth place. And that was the year that I came to Japan, but I followed Japanese baseball absolutely zero, so I had no clue that I would become a Tigers fan, and that we were in the middle of a dark age period.
Yeah.
So we hire a ringer from the outside for the first time in forever in 1999, and that would be Katsuya Nomura, who is a legend not only as a manager, but also as a player in NPB. He goes down like in Sadaharu Oh level of fame and of excellence as a player, even, because he's the best catcher probably in NPB or in Japanese baseball history. Mm-hmm. Anyhow,
as manager, though.
As manager, he was excellent with the Swallows, and he was quite good also with the Eagles.
Yeah.
But interestingly, he also has led Hoshino into pennants with two different teams. He did it with the Eagles as well. Mm-hmm. So he spent 3 years, I'm getting ahead of myself here, 3 years with the Tigers, finished in sixth place all 3 years. He clashed with the media quite a bit. He clashed with the Hanshin way, but in some ways that's good. He was saying these players are lazy, these players are getting star treatment even though they suck, blah, blah, blah. He was telling it like it is, and he still hates the Tigers to this day because of how the team is run.
Yeah.
Anyhow, during his reign, basically Shinjo told him, like, earning $1 million a year is nothing for me. He said that, we're going Shinjo Nomura here. Shinjo also said baseball was like a part-time job for me. In other words, like, being a star off the field was more important than being a star on the field. He also hit that walk-off hit on an intentional walk pitch against the Giants in 1999. Mm-hmm. And then he left the team for good in 2000, after the 2000 season, and he went to the MLB the following year. And little known fact, Tsuyoshi Shinjo became the first fielder, Japanese fielder in MLB history, ahead of Ichiro, only by like a day or two. But so he played for the New York Mets before the, or maybe it was even an hour or two. He played for the Mets before Ichiro played for the Mariners. Mm-hmm. So that's a bit of trivia for you. Keep it in your back pocket for when you're at a party and you have nothing better to say. and then at the end of Nomura's third season, he was actually, believe it or not, three straight last place finishes. He was still expected to be the manager the following year. But his wife ran into a big tax evasion scandal, and the team ended up having to release him quite suddenly, and they scrambled to get the next manager. But interestingly, some of Nomura's words as he was kind of walking out the door, so to speak, were the only person that could really handle this job and would actually be good for the Tigers is Senichi Hoshino. They need a manager like him. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly who the Tigers hired in Heisei 14, 2002. Hoshino came in, and brought some new excitement to the team and just brought something to the team that Nomura couldn't. The team still finished fourth in Hoshino's first year. But then in the second season, that first true off season for Hoshino, you know, he apparently, I think, released or cut, it was either 24 or 28 guys. And that's crazy because you got to have a huge draft then. It's not like MLB. I mean, the drafts typically are 6 to 8 rounds here. But you also have to bring in a ton of free agents and castaways and stuff. And he did. The big name that he brought in, of course, is
Tomoaki Kanemoto.
That's right. Comes in 2003 from the Hiroshima Carp. And leads the team to their first championship of the Heisei era in the 15th year of Heisei. So, quite a memorable year for many reasons. But we also had guys like George Arias on the team at this time. I think he joined the team in 2002, though. Was quite the addition to the team for his 3 years as well. But just an incredibly strong team from top to bottom, especially the hitting lineup. Very impressive. And I'm sure they would have been fun to watch if I'd been around. Were you in Japan already at this point, JD?
I wasn't. So I first came to Japan the same year that you did, but I only stayed for about 3 weeks. That was when I was in high school still, actually, in 1998, you know, dating myself a little bit here. But I didn't. I came permanently to Japan in 2002. But at that point, I was still mostly focused on the MLB as opposed to the MPB. Yeah.
Gotcha. Gotcha. All right, well, so for health reasons, Hoshino had to step down. There were times during that 2003 season, I mean, he just gets so into the game, he had to leave the dugout to go take medication for his heart, or he just had to leave because his heart literally couldn't take it. There were times that he would leave and just lay down for like 45 minutes or whatever, and, you know, the coaches kind of had to cover for him. So he took a hiatus from baseball, from managing. He came back eventually and managed the Eagles. And as I said earlier, Nomura was their manager until 2012. And then in 2013, Hoshino took over, I believe. And they won the Japan Series that year. So again, Hoshino rides on Nomura's coattails. Not dogging on Hoshino at all. He's a great manager. Love him as a person too. I mean, just some of the speeches he gave were so inspiring, and just hearing from some of the players and stuff. He used to give flowers to the players' wives on their birthdays. I mean, just a classy manager. Anyhow, years 16 through 20, moving forward, Akinobu Okada, former star of the Hanshin Tigers, takes over as manager. He was also, I think, he was a Nigun coach, and he was also, I think, he was a bench coach, a hitting coach or something for Ichigun for a bit as well. So he had some coaching and managing experience. Had 5 years with the team, and they finished in fourth, first, second, third, and second. So pretty good stuff from him, and he definitely would have gone more than 5 years were it not for what happened in 2008. But before we get to that, of course, we got to talk about the 2005 second championship of the Heisei era for us. In year 17, two and 3 years now for the Tigers, so we're looking pretty good. It looks like we've got almost, maybe not a dynasty, but certainly like a powerhouse team on our hands. Couple of things about that 2005 season/series. This is the year that Okada kind of invented or decided to go with the JFK combination out of the bullpen. The J, of course, standing for Jeff Williams, the F standing for Kyuji Fujikawa, and the K standing for Tomoyuki, I believe, Kubota. These three guys locked down any game that the Tigers were leading in. They were incredible, and that kind of has set set this trend that has gone on for the last 15 years in NPB. Even you look at other teams, and they tend to have like their big three relievers that close out games. And that wasn't the case in NPB until 2005. So pretty impressive stuff. And then the other one to talk about is that we made it to the Nippon Series. Of course, there's no Climax Series at this time, so you win the pennant, you're in the Nippon Series. We got absolutely trounced by the Chiba Latte Marines.
Didn't hold the lead once in the entire series and gave up 33 runs total. Yeah.
And scored only 4. And so for the real core of core Hanshin fans, if you throw the number 334 out there, they're all over it. There's a couple of nerds on Twitter that kind of have like an auto program for their Twitter feed where at 3:34 p.m. every day, they have like the same quote come up, which basically means like, this has nothing to do with Hanshin, but actually the 3:34 p.m. has everything to do with the score of that Nippon series. So total nerddom, but I love it. Oh, I wish I'd thought of that myself.
That year was the first time I actually caught a... That was my first Tigers game at Coliseum, actually.
So, oh, nice.
I remember it very well. We were sitting in the first base side Alps, and I just remember when Fujikawa came out, people went absolutely nuts. It was later in the season as well, too, so the Tigers were riding pretty high at that point, and it was... yeah, that sort of turned me at that point into a fan, for sure. Yeah, just experiencing that crazy atmosphere at that time.
Interestingly, QG was not even the closer that year yet.
No.
And also, he was still kind of at the start of his career. I mean, he got drafted, I think, in the 1999 draft, if I'm not mistaken. Or maybe 98, around then. And he was almost cut, actually, after the 2003 season. But Okada was coming in 2004, and he had said, look, you got to keep this QG kid because I still believe in him. Because he'd been pretty bad for about five seasons there, and for a first-round pick to stink it up that badly, I think the team was losing patience. But Okada basically like saved him from the scrap pile and said, no, he's going to be my guy, and sure enough, he was.
Yeah.
So 2006 and 7, I don't want to say they're forgettable, but certainly there wasn't anything huge that happened during that time. Mm-hmm. Well, let's just give a shout-out to Andy Sheets, who was with the team for that second championship. He was the main import hitter. Mm-hmm. Not the main hitter on the team, of course. That goes to Kanemoto. 2008, why did things go south for Okada? Why did he have to step down? The reason is because the Tigers blew a huge CL lead in the second half of the season. I think they were up 11.5 games in July. And mathematically, to blow that big of a lead is quite improbable. And so typical Japanese style, he took responsibility for the collapse and he stepped down. So we go from one Akinobu to another. Akinobu Mayumi, also a Hanshin Tigers legend, steps in from 2009 to 2011, Heisei 21 through 23, and he finishes fourth, second, and fourth during his time. You were at least somewhat following the Tigers, I'm assuming. My impression, just from reading articles and stuff, is that he wasn't a very popular manager because he wasn't very charismatic, and he didn't take a lot of chances. He seemed like a kind of boring manager. Is that about right?
Well, actually, this is right about when I headed back to the U.S. from Japan. So, this, like, okay. I actually kind of bowed out right around that time. Yeah, I was back in the States for 5 years. So that was right around when I stopped following them as much, yeah.
Right. Well, the one thing that stands out about this is that in 2010, Matt Merton joined the Hanshin Tigers as a... Well, I guess as a rookie. And he actually played center field because Kanemoto was in left. And Merton was actually replacing Norihiro Akahoshi in center. And so there was big worries. Like, you know, you've got this legendary player that played for the team for almost a whole decade being replaced by some unknown American. And if I remember correctly, Merton did not have a very good spring. And so there was a lot of concern. And then he breaks Ichiro's hit record, single season hit record in that season, 200, and he had 215, is it? 214. And yeah, obviously, you know, he sets Hanshin on fire. The team actually came quite close to finishing in first, and their lineup, even just surrounding Merton, was quite strong. I mean, Craig Berzel was also, I think he hit 47 home runs that year or something.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
he had a killer year as well. So that's the only bright spot on Mayumi's record, but he stepped down after disappointing 2011. And the next guy that came in is Yutaka Wada from 2012 until 2015. So four seasons of small ball.
Mm-hmm.
The team finished fifth in his first season, and they still had a lot of the same pieces as they did in 2010, which also, by the way, already includes Randy Messenger in the pitching staff. But Merton had a really off year, and it just wasn't a good year for anyone. That was the year that Kanemoto retired, as well as the year that QG left the team to go to America. So yeah, it was just kind of a sour season and not a good start for Wada by any means. But the next couple seasons, the team finished second. And in 2014, we went on the improbable playoff run where we actually looked like the kid from A Christmas Story, and we absolutely mauled the Giants in the playoffs. We beat them four straight at Tokyo Dome, and quite convincingly in all those games, made it to the Nippon Series. That was our first and only time that we had any success in the playoff system. And that was also the year that H10 started. We weren't H10 at the time, but I was blogging about the Tigers in 2014. So yeah, I mean, that for me is a good start. The team finished second, as I said. And then the next year, which was Wada's last, We were supposed to go for the top as one. That was the slogan, and we ended up finishing third. We were actually in first until, I believe, September the 11th.
Yeah.
But the whole Central League was just a big, it's just a sloppy, you know, mess. Nobody was really that good. Nobody was really that bad. And the team ended up finishing third, just collapsed in September. And that was the end of WADA. And we were all excited because the next manager coming in was the legend, the guy who led us to two Central League pennants earlier in the Heisei period.
Kanemoto, yeah.
2016 through 2018. And he was going to Chohenkaku, absolutely, you know, ultimate change in 2016. The team finished fourth, but there was excitement. Then it was Idomu in 2017, Challenge Yourself. We finished second, and actually we had quite a strong team, and there were even times that it looked like we might be able to at least compete with the Carp. We finished 10 games back, but still pretty good, but we bowed out in the playoffs in the first round. And then 2018, Kanemoto says at the start of the season during spring training, he said, "I think this is the strongest team that we have had during my reign as manager." Sixth place. I don't disagree with him, though. You know, like, we actually, like, on paper, it was a good team.
Yeah.
We did have some bad luck in the injury department, particularly at the end of this season. And then, of course, Rosario looked great in spring when Kanemoto made that comment. And if Rosario, I'm not pinning the blame on him, but if he had performed well during the season, the rest of the guys around him might have actually picked up their game as well, and it could have been something special. But instead, that was our first last place finish since Nomura led the team back in Heisei 13, 2001. So he steps down, and there was controversy. Did he step down, or did he get asked to step down? Did he get fired? But we'll leave that to the tabloids and to the rearview mirror, because in comes Akihiro Yano. And, you know, he only gets a month of Heisei, at least as far as regular season goes, and it has not gone well for him either. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Reiwa is beginning in a week, and I'm ready to put Heisei in the rearview mirror. How about you?
Yeah, I was feeling pretty much the same way. It's going to be an interesting, I mean, this is an interesting turning point for the team as well. I think, you know, we're looking at some of the mainstays who have been with us for the past, you know, decade or so, you know, potentially leaving at some point along the way here. I mean, you got to figure Randy's not going to last too much longer. Toritani, of course, Fukudome, Fujikawa, all these guys are going to be changing. So I think the Reiwa, beginning of Reiwa, is also going to be bringing in a bit of a change of the guard, I think. But we'll see what direction it goes in. You know, we've had trouble developing some of the guys that we needed to. Some of the younger guys are not panning out the way we were hoping so far. But maybe they can pick up the pace, and we can get Reiwa off with a bang. I'm still hopeful.
Well, we ended Showa with a last place finish, and then we started Heisei with a fifth place finish. We finished Heisei with a last place finish because last season's record would be the final Heisei standings. And so hopefully we finish Reiwa with a non-last place finish. We'll see. So there you have it. That is the Heisei, and we are hoping to have some good stuff in Reiwa. Let's actually look ahead, do some predictions or some looking ahead.
What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be?
Actually, we've got a few games left in Heisei. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, there's six more.
Today it's the 24th, so yep, six more.
Yeah, so we've got two more in Yokohama, as we mentioned, and I fully expect that we are going to win at least one of the two, even though our rotation is kind of falling apart, and we have got Saiki and Iwata going to the mound in those two games. We're going to follow that up with three in Nagoya against the Dragons.
Yep.
But actually, we get a day off in between, and then three at home against the Carp, three at home against the Bay Stars, and then one against the Swallows before we sign up for episode 97.
Yes. Yes,
indeed. So, but that again, the Dragons, Carp, Bay Stars, and Swallows come 12 straight in 12 days. So in these upcoming 12 games that we have on tap before we meet again, what do you expect or what are you hoping for?
Well, I mean, the pitching is really the main issue, I think, right now. You know, we have Randy injured. We have Garcia, you know, totally MIA. We're really wondering what we're going to get from our starters. You know, I mean, Nishi and Aoyagi seem to be the most dependable guys. So I'm curious. I'm really looking forward to tonight's game to see what Saiki can manage, if he can sort of show that he belongs in the rotation. Yeah, it's really just about the pitching, I think, to see what they can come up with. I don't know. I don't think we're going to go above 500 for this one, to be a bit pessimistic about it. But I just don't see how it can happen, especially with all the question marks we have in the rotation.
Yeah, well, I guess the only thing we can hope for is that other teams are just as fatigued as we are and that we fall upon some good luck, because maybe, we've had some calls go against us and we've had some errors that hopefully won't commit, and hopefully other teams can commit, and hopefully. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping for 500 at least, because I'm tired of even the Boo Birds already coming out and saying fire Yano after 21 games. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, all right. A couple announcements, or one announcement before we wrap things up here, everybody. I am going to be hosting, H10 will be hosting the Ponta Deck Bash on June the 21st as the Tigers host the Cebu Lions. So if all goes well, Christian from Graveyard Ball is going to be there, and he'll be making his Koshien debut. Let's pelt him with jeers, Hanshin style, as the Tigers crush the Lions. Seriously, though, if you're interested in coming, contact me for the details. Send me an email. The email is in the show notes. First come, first served, okay? There's only like 10 or so tickets left, maybe less. Thanks once again for your time and passion for the Hanshin Tigers. If you like what you've heard and want to hear more H10 content, check us out on Patreon. Sponsors get a free podcast per month. The link is in the show notes. You can find this podcast, extra news and articles and more at www.thehanshintigers.com. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or Spotify. You can find it with those four magic words, H10, spelled out fully in words. Subscribe, write a review, and share with your friends and enemies. Get all the news instantly by following us on Facebook. Again, if you want to leave a review on Facebook page, that would be great. And if you want to follow me on Twitter or Instagram, the tag is @TheHanshinTiger. Check us out. Until next time, you better keep cheering until we turn into the kid on Christmas Story and absolutely wail on the Giants. See y'all next time, everyone.
Thanks for listening, everyone, and catch you next time. You know that it's your boy, Hanshin Tigers. It's your boy. Come on.